for the show. Bringing you Bigfoot News, yo-yo. Oh, yeah. Watching in the woods, catching all the food. Oh, yeah. Digging deep to bring you all the news. From sightings to footprints, it's all in the light. Stay tuned to Squatchy, it's out of sight.
And good evening, cyberspace. Welcome to the Bigfoot News for today's date, March 15th, 2024. I'm your host, your guide, Squatch Detective Steve Coles, along with Mr. Chris Bennett right down there. Hello, Chris.
Steve, how you doing, man?
I am doing well, sir.
How about that neck? This neck still getting you down?
Oh, the neck sucks.
Oh, well. Just hang in there, man. It'll take a little time to mend, a little time to heal. But we got some rain today. And I was kind of glad of it because I'm still sore.
I know. If in case folks didn't know, they can check it out on the channel.
Oh, yeah.
We have a video release of Chris's little scouting mission up there. And we're asking for your guys' help to see if you guys maybe that have been in the field have noticed what Chris notices in the video. I don't want to elaborate that. I want people to watch the video and check it out.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really important. So people check that video out. And, you know, make sure you give it the thumbs up as well.
Please. Give me a thumbs up.
And that reminds me, for all our new subscribers here, welcome. We salute you. Welcome to the family. And we have the world's greatest audience. So we're glad to have you on board as well. And if you're here for a while, you like what you see, maybe consider joining as a member. Membership is a great way to support this channel. And we're doing a lot of stuff, as you can see. We're pumping out videos. And we're pumping out good, honest content. We're not pumping out, you know, Squatch bait or anything like that.
Right.
Instead of clickbait, I call it Squatch bait. Yeah. You know, let's take this long debunk video. Let's put it out there like it just happened yesterday. We don't do that here. And we, again, one of our key lines or keywords is hashtag no cryptozoology. We don't sit there and bring people on with a script that will read you their story or tell you their story with a script. We bring you real witnesses and real people every day.
Right. And real research discussion.
That's it. Real research discussions from people that are actually in the field and do it. Not just some financial wizard that all of a sudden buys a couple of programs and thinks he can enhance everything and then claim it's not AI driven when it's AI driven. Yeah. Anyway,
you know, 20 years ago, tracking through the woods, going up and down the hills and hollows wasn't that bad of a deal. But now, oh boy, it's rough.
Definitely sucks getting old. Definitely sucks getting old, I'll tell you what. But, you know, getting hit by a tractor trailer twice.
That'll take it out of you.
Yeah. A little bit. Anyway, Chris, do you think we should do our roll call?
Yeah, I think it's about time for the roll call. Who we got?
Wait a minute. Wait.
Uh-oh.
Wait.
Lester was a man with a dream in his heart. Just aching to be part of the chat room start. He types so fast, fingers flying like a dart. But someone else always beat him and tore him apart. Squatchy TV was his absolute obsession. A forum full of believers, full of grand pledges. Sit alone, watching with pure dedication.
Lester, this one's for you.
But getting in that chat room was his true aspiration. Oh, oh, Lester finally made it in. He's the chat room champion. It's his ultimate win. Oh, oh, the miracle that he performed. Unlocking the chat room, his dream finally formed.
And first in the chat today is Lester Taylor, who finally made it.
Lester, congratulations, sir. We salute you.
Next in is our good friend Don Gumbau Jr.
Don.
Relic Hominin. He'll be checking the show out tomorrow. Sharon, hello. Walter Kroll, hello. Elton, aka Faster Man. Good to see Faster you,
man.
Mitch Hargrove. Good to see you, sir. Mitch. Tennessee Cherokee. Hello, hello. Smedley sure. Do-Right. Good to see you, sir.
Smedley, welcome.
He said, Thinker Thunker, tonight's guest. Angel Nolan, good to see you. Martin Thank Stilt, Hominid Academia, good to see you as well. Jay Fritz, hello, my friend. Thank you for all you do around here. Kevin Harder, professor, how are you, sir? Oh, and a special announcement, Brian Chewy Go Hiking, member for 9 months. Again, Brian, hello, and thank you for all you do.
We appreciate you, buddy.
Little Kilroy, still here, damn it.
Kilroy.
Jeff D. Smith. Hello, Jeff D. Good to see you as well. Thank you for all you do. Arthur Watch. Hello, B. Lynn. Not only a member, but also a moderator. That's why she's got a little wrench next to her name. And Walter Kroll. Hey, Jeff Yellick is in the house. Good to see you, Jeff.
Jeff, welcome.
Pete H. Again, another longtime member. Hello, Pete. Yeah.
We appreciate you, man.
That's it. And that looks like it for right now.
But
right. Well, while they even said Lester is number one.
Yes. Lester deserves the recognition. I mean, you got to love it when a plan comes together. He was steadfast and dedicated.
Lester for the last month has wanted to get in so badly to be the first one in, kind of like little game our chat room gaggle plays, and finally he made it in. So I saw that, and immediately I went over to some of my programming and said, I got to get a song put together for this. So
that was good. It was a very heartwarming song for Lester and dedication to his achievement, and we salute you again, Lester.
Appreciate that's it you. For those about to rock, we salute you.
That's right.
Somehow I heard that before.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's get to business.
So, in case people were wondering what about the RMSO, the Rocky Mountain Sasquatch, we have noticed that one of their posts is promoting Ivan Marks. Of course, Ivan Marks was the mentor of Tom Biscardi. And as you can see, they just posted verbatim with that reliable NVTV reports, another great reliable source. So they should tell you something about these guys and what they're all about promoting, junk, and that's. In case people don't know, Ivan Marks was first exposed back in 1971 by Peter Byrne. And what he tried to do is he tried to sell some of his Bigfoot films to Peter Byrne. They locked it and he put him in. It apparently was something to do with locked in a safe. And he would give Peter the rights to the film for $25,000. Now, I don't know this, but I just want to check on something real quick. $25,000
back in 71.
Back in 1971 to today.
Equivalent of about what, 80?
Okay, so... It's about $25,000 in 1971 is the equivalent to $190,000.
No, wow, golly, that blows me away. I didn't know there was that much difference. I figured about four times as much.
No, because I think those were the good old days when if you made $150 a week, or a couple hundred dollars a week, you were doing pretty good.
Yeah, you got to remember, too, gas was 39 cents a gallon back then. So.
Well, you could buy a car for $4,000, Brandon.
That's true. Yes, yes.
Maybe even less.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a nickel. Everything. You know what? I want to know how come my father was born. Everything was a nickel.
Yeah.
Bread, nickel.
I've heard
this. That was a nickel. 1936 souvenir shovel. Oh, that was a nickel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
we could go by the mom and dad would tell the story. Oh, we used to go by and get us a moon pie, and a RC or a double cola or something for a nickel.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yep. There's Tennessee Cherokee. Said I made $1.95 an hour in 1973.
Yep. That was good money then.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yep. Tim says that's right. And had a walks to school uphill. Both ways. And bare feet in the snow. So hello, Nikki. Good to see you. So anyway, yeah, I mean, when you have a channel that's promoting this kind of garbage, to me, they just have no shame. No shame whatsoever. I don't know if you agree with me or disagree with me, but.
Well, Ivan Mark stuff, you know, I thought was cleared of being, I mean, it was considered a hoax years ago, and they've got this listed. Amazing footage has endured years of controversy.
What NVTV had written, but now I'm wondering what's the relationship between Rocky Mountain Sasquatch and NVTV?
Maybe.
Are they one and the same?
Maybe. Maybe it's a different channel, man.
And we've exposed NVTV in the past here using the Mark Anders video and videos, his suits and stuff like that, and putting that out on there. And yet they're putting out all this clickbait.
Well, you know, are they doing it for entertainment to just get clicks, you know?
That's well, they claim to be, you know, remember back, I think it was 2018, 2019. When there was this drone video that was shot and it had this creature walking in it and it got put out there and people were all clamoring about it. And these guys run out there and claim they found all this Bigfoot evidence. And then the next day or next week or whatever it was, the people that shot the video showed the last part of the drone video. And that's the Bigfoot turning around, taking its mask off.
Yeah.
Right. And here's these guys. Oh, we went out there and we found all this evidence.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Good job, guys. Well, good job.
You know. You know, maybe they found some sticks. I don't know what they found, but maybe they found some stick structures.
I don't really remember because it all happened so fast. It was like bing, bang, boom, and it was done. Yeah. Within a week, yeah. It was all over with. And I think we were on one of our breaks at the time when that happened.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so don't claim you're the Rocky Mountain Sasquatch organization and putting this up and just blogging away, you know, any kind of clickbait you could do, you know, at least our content, we try to be honest with it. You know, we put a lot of content out there. We're putting out shorts of clips of some of our shows with some, in fact, I'm going to be doing a Kevin Harder one too, as well, I'm sure.
Okay.
Because he's a professor and I want to put the academics out there and we're doing Haskell Hart. I believe we have one or two more videos of Haskell Hart shorts coming up. And then following that, we're going to have John Green clips. So from our 2007 interview of John Green.
Yeah.
Those are gonna be great. So we're going to be doing that next. And of course, we're going to be cutting some other videos throughout the week as well.
But a lot of Ivan Marks' videos were featured on different documentaries. And, you know, in the early 70s.
They were all his. They were all Amazing Horizons. Yeah. And that was Biscardi's company.
Yeah. And, you know, after watching through some of those, I was like, oh, my God. You know, They couldn't even trim the bear's ears or whatever. Right. Look, those ears on that. He's got a pointy head there. I mean, boy, he's Mr. Conehead.
The funny thing is I talked to Ivan Marks' grandson, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee said his grandfather was full of beans.
Oh, yeah.
Not in those terms, beans. Beans was meant for something else. But knew his grandfather was not being truthful.
Well, you know, that's the thing that got me about this was the, you know, it's just like from that movie Coneheads, you know, with Dan Aykroyd and the other guy. I can't remember who else. The head shape just don't cut.
Now, Ivan Marks was a hunter, And I'm sure he taxied. To me, that looks like a bunch of bearskin sewn together.
Yep.
And maybe a paper mache mask or something with the bearskin attached to the outside of it. That's what it looks like to me. Maybe some cardboard. Wasn't a professionally bought costume like Philip Morris as the Patterson-Gimlin is. Or the late Philip Morris.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm glad we don't have his carnival of art.
Oh, man, I wish we had a clip of that that recreation that Bob Hieronymus did in the Philip Morris suit where he looked like a fat Ewok.
But anyway, this is, you know, obviously it disheartens me to see an organization or a group that originally came out. And you know what? They came out in like 2005. And like I said, can we do a link exchange? Well, sure. Back then they weren't putting out this kind of stuff. Right. And the funny thing is that I put their link up, but they never put my link up. Wow. So I took their link down. After 6 months, I was like, wow, they never put mine up. Goodbye. So that shows that kind of guy. It's all about him. It's all about them. And apparently, you know, I was very mild against them for the last couple of years. I really haven't said much about them. But apparently I must have said something about them and their storyline. Probably the Ontario boater video. That really took them a lot. Right. And turns out they blocked me from their Facebook page.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
But hey, guess what? It's not like we don't have other resources to see what they're saying.
So, the boating video, though, that was kind of, you know, you could see the boat wake that had just left the island. There.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I mean, that's open and shut case there. That's pretty easy.
Right. So it really discerns me or concerns me, I should say, that, you know, this is just another one of those clickbait agencies in the likes of NBTV where they're going to put these old, long debunked, long, you know, recirculated videos up there just because there's something to put out there, you know, and to not have some context or some analysis of it to me just promotes the garbage. Whereas if I had put this out there, I would have had a commentary on it saying, well, listen, you know, that's what we do here is that, you know, but this is the least amount of effort. This is like 3 minutes. Let's put it out there. Goodbye. Hello, Jeffrey. Good to see you. And hello to the tackle technician, tactician.
Welcome.
Representing. Nice. Bill finding a trackway is up there. Good to see you.
Bill.
I know Nikki just slid in too. But that's really what's concerned me. And I wish, you know, people would show a little. I mean, it's okay to subscribe to them. Why not? Give them a watch.
You know, I enjoy some entertainment stuff, but you know, if
anything, it reminds me of like, I remember this, and you know, maybe now it gives me an idea. This week, maybe we'll do our own Ivan Marks video. Yeah, you know, thank you for the idea. Yeah. You know, thank you for the idea, RMSO. But you know what? We're going to be the ones bringing the truth to people. You can post verbatim what NVTV said, which is really kind of not right, but
I think we need a little
unless of course they are NVTV, you know, but I believe NVTV is actually a Canadian channel in actuality, but I don't know.
Well, since Ivan Marks, this footage is in the news again, well, not really the news, but making the circuit again, I think a little clarity on that would help. People understand, especially newer people that haven't seen it before.
It's kind of funny.
Target audience.
You know. It is kind of funny because, in one sense, they sit there and they made a snide remark about, you know, a couple of years ago, Kelly Shaw asked me to do an interview with him about the Bigfoot body of 2008, right? And he's trying to sling mud a little bit in his titling. At me trying to say I was involved with Biscardi and blah, blah, blah. But what does he do this week? He actually promoted Biscardi's mentor, Ivan Marks. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? This shows you how disingenuous he is. The only reason why he put that there was, but you know what, son? And this message is to Kelly. You know what, son? I have the receipts to show I wasn't involved. It's not only on this channel, but it's in print too. And I have 89 pages of police document to prove where my name is not only mentioned once in it. And that was Biscardi throwing it in there. Nobody else. Not Dyer, not Witten, not any of the crew there that picked the body up. Nothing. Biscardi basically took that edited statement from Schmalzbach, that Schmalzbach edited, and sent it to the cops. And that was going to, my statement was going to be Biscardi's statement. This is what happened. And it was edited by Java Bob. So it wasn't even really my statement. So
50 large.
50 large. And we do have a 50 large episode on this channel. So you want to watch the whole thing with the receipts. That, as it turned out, nothing I did, like, oh, didn't you do the contracts? Well, as it turned out, the contracts I did were never used. It was his attorney's contracts that were used, because that's the one signed by all parties. Right? So, yeah, goodbye. On to the next.
All right, next.
Now, part of what we do sometimes is, you know, we tend to look at things and we tend to look at other people's analysis and go, whoa, time out. This is not correct. Now, do we do this maliciously? No, never.
No.
Right. And you know what, as much as the previous group we talked about, as much disdain I have for their stuff, what they're putting out lately, I don't hate them. I have nothing personal against them. I just, hey, listen, you know what? I can go out, have a beer with you and talk to you about anything other than what you guys are doing and be fine with you probably. But when it comes to, you know, the Bigfoot stuff, I disagree with you. And that's fine. Well, of course, this is Thinker Thunker, and that's an actual screen cap of Thinker Thunker talking on a video. So that's who Thinker Thunker is. His real name is Jed White. Talk about breaking down videos personally. This centered around that stupid Bigfoot head that was in a museum, that whole thing.
Oh yeah.
And when we said, hey, Thinker Thunker is saying this thing is, you know, not correct, wrong. Or Thinker Thunker is saying, hey, this thing is the real deal or real. Whatever. We're like, no, it's not. And you can actually see that when it's compared to an actual human, it's about the same size as a human head. Right. That's another big issue with that whole thing.
No, we can take this stick, Steve, and we can. Right. You know, now, see, I'm a Bigfoot.
So now what we end up doing is what ends up happening is, rather than being a gentleman and keep it Marcus of Queensbury rules. Well, I disagree with what Steve says, because literally we didn't bash Thinker Thunker. We just disagreed with him. And of course, the minute we disagree with him, he comes out and sends me an email. It says, you have at least two videos and that's defamation and you know, that's against the law. What? Ugh.
Okay. Reality check.
A little defensive, are you? A little defensive. And then he was like, and then he tries to quote me YouTube policy. And although Thinker Thunker has been more active on YouTube than I have, I have been on YouTube since 2006. Right? We have had a YouTube channel since YouTube started. And I keep up with YouTube's rules and I keep up with that. I am a content producer. In fact, I spend a lot of my time now learning, working with YouTube creators. Right? So I understand the algorithms. I understand a lot of stuff about YouTube. And most importantly, I understand their guidelines and rules. So when he said this, I know he was full of beans and he was basically being threatening. And there's no reason to be threatening. I don't threaten to destroy anybody's channel. I don't threaten to destroy anybody's life. I don't threaten to do any of that. But rather we have people like Thinker Thunker who sees these things as an attack, but it's not. I'm disagreeing with you. And in my next, I actually wrote him back basically saying exactly that, that YouTube, you know, YouTube's terms of service does not agree with what you're saying. And I said, criticism is not a violation of law. Defamation is when a lie is told. Right. And then I also made the point of the fact that you're a YouTube content creator. That makes you a public figure. And as a public figure, that makes your ability to claim defamation even less.
Right? Yeah, well, you know, if you talk about a video and analyze it and stuff.
My intent is not to listen. No. People need to watch those channels. Right. But I would hope they have the sanity to come to this channel and see the difference between them and us.
Yeah.
Right. There's room for everybody here, even though they're pumping. Remember, this is the channel that's going to be honest with you and unbiased with you. Yeah. Right. Watch what they're saying, because it may give you insight. Because I'm not saying Thinker Thunker is always wrong. Not saying that either. That's why you should watch this channel. My goal here is not to take views and clicks away from these people. It's kind of a nudge to say, hey, listen, we always claim, you know, why are, you know, here's my newest statement. People wonder why the lunatics are running the asylum. Well, it's because we're not standing up for it. When good people do nothing, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so if something's out there on garbage, that's garbage, clearly garbage on a post, something like this RMSO thing, right? Well, guess what? When they post this on their RMSO Facebook, they disable commenting on it. Mm. Yeah. They disable.
You know commenting. Why? Because somebody's going to come in there and say, hey, dude, this has already been, you know, determined to be a hoax. Why are you promoting a known hoax?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kevin Harder reminds us of the turkey hunter video. Absolutely. That was for turkey hunters. I'm not saying abuse them, harass them, or anything like that. But they post something, say, hey, this has been debunked, or this is not real, or hey, this is old hat stuff. Let them know. Tell them. This is not what Bigfoot research is, the future. Now we can look back and look at it in a constructive way, but just showing this video with a casual, oh, look at this amazing video. Or let's break this video down like Facebook Find Bigfoot did. That's the exact same formula Thinker Thunker is using. Is with Facebook. He's nothing more than a carbon copy of Facebook Find Bigfoot, except for it's on YouTube, not Facebook. Carbon copy. We're going to show you why this Bigfoot's real and come up with 1,000 excuses and measurements and stuff like that when they're obviously not. And, you know, obviously there's flaws with it.
Yeah, the measurements are done without a frame of reference. And that's what gets me the special, especially the sticks. Okay.
You know, yeah.
He's going to take these sticks and put them on this picture, then move them over to the next picture. Well, we don't know that next picture was the same distance from the camera as the first one was.
Well, that's why when I took the Ontario boat video,
right,
we put in a sliding scale. If this is a 6-foot creature, this is a 7-foot creature, if this is an 8-foot creature, if this is a 9-foot creature, and we use that size stick to measure everything else around it. And those were estimates. So it gave us a sliding rule. If it was this, we're not saying it is, but that would mean the strides would be ridiculously small, wouldn't they? That was a big thing. And then we can take that and use that to measure the distance between here and there. If it's 9 feet tall, then the space here is this. If it's 8 feet tall, then it's this. So we have a sliding scale on all the measurements. Yeah. I can play that game too, but I can do it more accurately. When you deal with somebody like me, you know, you give, like, I hate to go back to it, one person for every 0.09 acres in LBL, when your figure is based on total visitors for the year rather than average visitors per day.
right,
which is what it should be, then I know you're wrong and you're acting like Thinker Thunker. And sometimes Thinker Thunker acts like that. So we all need to evaluate what's being said and then hit me up and say, what do you think?
I think sometimes people just put their zeal ahead of their abilities. You know, I think, you know, the
term is part of that term is called cognitive dissonance.
I'm trying to be polite.
Well, it's called cognitive dissonance. And one of the symptoms of cognitive dissonance is illusionary superiority.
Right.
They feel that because they have a skill in this, they are apt and able to do this. Right.
But we know from scales, especially from photographs and videos, if you got a video of Bigfoot standing next to a tree,
right,
and then you can go back and the next day and do a follow-up and measure that tree and say, okay, right, this tree is 6 feet tall. We know. Now, if the creature was standing, you know, level with the tree, well, we got a pretty good indication that creature was 6 feet tall.
Right.
And but if you don't know, you know, you can't guesstimate, oh, well, that looks like that tree is 8 feet tall. Well, you don't know that. It's impossible to know without the facts.
Right. Well, right. I mean, as somebody that has worked in professional investigation all his life, I find it really difficult at times to look at something like that and watch the people make assumptions about something.
Right.
Like one of Thinker Thunker's thing in that boat video was assuming that the tree was this tall.
Right.
Yeah. How can you do that without seeing the tree? Yeah. Right from there. Anything either scientific or even court, if it was part of the justice system, it would be thrown out,
right,
because you're making an assumption based on somebody else's evaluation.
Yeah, you actually got to go there and do the measurements.
Right. You got to get boots on the ground to do a proper breakdown forensically. That was done with the Patterson-Gimlin film. That was done with the Freeman film. That was done with the Pigeon video. That was done with a lot, everything that I do, that was done with the Vermont trail cam photo, right? That was, so anything that I generally come out, I'm boots on the ground. And hopefully this week I will have my wrap up on the New Hampshire videos that came out a couple of weeks ago over on the BFRO membership page. I am doing a report on that because I went out to New Hampshire a couple of weeks ago before the tractor trailer hit me, met with a guy, did some filming out there, and we will get into that hopefully this week or the week after.
Good.
But you got to get boots on the ground to there. So this kind of minutia, if you look, when I evaluate something, it's stuff that we can evaluate remotely. Like if you ever notice that we never talk about too much about the film necessarily, we're not there. We can talk about the behaviors in the film, but we won't talk about sizes and stuff like that unless it's clearly evident, right? Unless there's something we can scale it to. There's a fence, there's a house, there's, you know, something in there we can actually scale it to. Because you know what? We know the common height of a doorway. We know the common height of a window. We know the common height of a particular fence. That we can work with. But when something's willy-nilly out in the forest, it can be anything. So, all right, on to the next. Of course, I understand.
Oh, no.
So anyway, I'm going to get off this slide real quick.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave it too much, but I want people to take it in for a second. Let Ralph beat this, the massacre theory. Now, we've talked about this quite a bit. And apparently, this is only my understanding, but I've been hearing that MK threatened Bob Gimlin. I don't think he really threatened Bob Gimlin directly. What was said, I think, may have been irresponsible, but not intentional. I think he said it, and the way he said it was, he just stuffed off the head, and it came out wrong, perhaps.
I heard the video. I watched part of that video.
Well, go ahead, Chris. Tell me what he said, because I had trouble.
He ended up, after he put it up, he immediately took it down, or within a brief amount of time of it being up, he pulled it.
Good, good.
And other people had already downloaded it because they figured, well, yeah, he's probably going to pull this.
So
he did make some remarks about Bob. If he goes there, he should be afraid of what Patty's.
Oh, yes. About what the Bigfoot would do to him and stuff like that. And I see, that's why I don't think that's a direct threat.
No.
I don't think that's a direct threat. I think, you know, and if he pulled it down, then I think he realized that he probably said something wrong. So I'll give him credit for taking that down.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, oops, I said something that maybe I shouldn't have. Yeah.
It wasn't.
Although sometimes if he gets a lot of criticism, you know, I don't know if he takes.
What I felt about it, I didn't feel like he was directly threatening Bob, or anything like that. But in a roundabout way, he was kind of wishing harm on Bob, an indirect threat, you know, of somebody else doing harm to Bob. Right. Which
here's the thing, and here's my thing. Do you really think after all these years, a Bigfoot would remember a particular person if they hadn't seen him since 1967? That's number one. Number two, if that was true, what he was saying, the way the Bigfoot think, wouldn't that make any human being going down there dangerous?
Yes, it would. Yeah.
And there's MK going down to that area and not being harassed or harangued by a Sasquatch. Yeah, There is the Bluff Creek Project going down there for years without being harassed or harangued by a Sasquatch.
Yeah, and think about this way.
See how,
if the Sasquatch could recognize that it was Bob Gimlin, and they would say, "Hey, that's that guy that massacred a bunch of us the last time we was here. Let's get the heck out of here, man."
Yeah,
you know, he's the massacre dude,
right? Yeah, they would have no idea, especially since Bob looks a lot different than he did, you know, back in 67 to now.
Oh, yeah.
And for God's sakes, Bob Gimlin is, what, 90-something years old now?
Yeah. Well, I'm not certain. I know he is. His age is reaching some pretty big numbers.
Yeah, and we hope he is doing a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. But Bob looked kind of like a hippie there back in them days. He's had the long hair and everything going on.
But my God, I mean, I don't know where these people fantasize over so much. Don't you understand people that want to comply with that? And thank you, Jay.
Jay, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Don't,
you guys are great.
Don't people understand that, you know, when they hear somebody say, well, you know, Bob Gimlin doesn't want to go out there. He better not go out there because those Sasquatch will remember him. What kind of fantasy land is this person living in? Oh, man. Right? I mean, if the Sasquatch was a day old, it would be in its, what, 50s by now, wouldn't it not?
Yeah.
Right? No sense whatsoever. If they live that long, we don't know the average lifespan of a Sasquatch. Right. I'm certainly, if they're like any other primates, they're going to live between 50 and 70 years. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We were talking about that the other day, but I was talking about the young one. You said, it's probably 6 feet tall now.
Yeah. We were talking about the pigeon video. The one I saw. Yeah. The one I saw. Mm-hmm. That sucker's probably 8 foot tall by now.
Mm-hmm.
Think of this is their frame. Yeah. And you're right. Absolutely. Hello, Michael. Good to see you, Michael. Our good friend, Mike Waldy out there from Texas Bigfoot Rangers. There's a lot of fantasy in this fantasy land. Unfortunately. Yeah, there is. We had talked this past Sunday with Darren Lee, and we had mentioned the fact of, you know, the Mike Sells videos and stuff like this. So, while I think the guy did marvelous work at restoring some of the aspects of the Patterson Gimlin film and sure. You know,
yeah.
And then Bill Munns's add-ons were great.
Yeah.
I think Gatewood stuff is just garbage. It's done with AI. MK tries to deny it was done with AI. Gatewood tries to deny it was AI, but it was AI.
It's AI. Yeah.
And, you know, we even asked AI, was it AI? And it said it was AI. We explained, we put his process in. There is a program called Claude. Now, Claude, you can take any scientific document or any document of findings and put them up there, and you can ask Claude questions about this. So what we did, I put Todd Gatewood's statement about the processes of how he did this, uploaded it to Claude and said, hey, was this done with AI? And Claude said, well, technically it was done with AI because of A, B, C, and D, and E. And if you change that algorithm, it will change how the picture comes out. So it's an AI, a form of AI. So, sorry.
Ristel, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, Ristel.
We do too. We stand with Bob. I stand with Bob.
Ristel. That's right. You know,
could it be that he's seeking attention for relevance because he maybe feels like he's kind of out of the spotlight, maybe coming up with some of these bizarre things?
No, I do not. I do not. I don't think MK, you know, a lot of people say, oh, relevance. No, I think that it's just how MK's mind works. I think that, you know, I think it has something, maybe it's an obsession with him. As far as the Patterson-Gimlin film is concerned.
Right. Yeah.
Because let's face it, how much can you keep? I mean, how much could you keep talking about it? And then you start looking at things too much, and then you start reading. In other words, if you're obsessed with something, you could start reading into things that aren't there. Right. And that's what I think the massacre theory was. Yeah. Is that, you know, a lot of it. And it was just a rabbit hole he went down. You know, I could take probably any old film, add a red filter and find a puddle of red blood in it if there's a waterway there. Or there's water on the ground. I'm sure we could say that's blood. But we obviously know it's not, because we actually see some high def pictures of that puddle. And you can see the rocks in the bottom of that waterbed. And yes, so that means it was clear water. It was not.
But if you turn the saturation level up just the right amount, you can make blood there, Steve.
That's right. But even through that alleged blood, you can see the rocks in the bottom, which means it's not blood. Because blood is viscous, especially when it starts to coagulate and it becomes almost a solid.
If we change it around and make that stream, that blood purple, we could argue for the Smurf massacre. The Great Smurf Massacre.
Right, well, maybe let's get the blue filter. Get the blue filters.
That's right.
Well, that's an interesting question. Do Smurfs have blue blood or red blood? Ah, see? Neither. Asking the tough questions here on the Bigfoot News.
I vote they have neither.
Oh, and there's a big Keurig debate going on in the chat room. I'll tell you what, I love my Keurig, and I'll tell you what.
That's one of those little coffee pod maker things. Right. Right?
I love my Keurig because, and you know what? I don't. Why? Thank you, Mike said I stand with Bob as well. Bob.
Appreciate Mike. Thank
appreciate
you.
It. I love my Keurig, plain and simple, and I don't get the super expensive coffee. I actually get the great value French roast. It's very good, and I get for like $28, I get 100 pods. So I get 100 cups of coffee for, so basically I'm paying like 28 cents, 30 cents for a cup of coffee.
Well, you know, I don't drink coffee, I couldn't tell you.
And you know what? If I'm serving a lot, I'll pull a coffee pot out. If I have a bunch of people, I'll pull a coffee pot out and brew a bunch. And that's good too, but I'm, you know, it's all good. Any coffee is good coffee.
I love the smell. Except, you know, I don't want to mention the brand, but we have normally a name brand in our household. And about a year ago, sometime it stopped giving that beautiful aroma of when you're making fresh coffee. It's like, are you making coffee? I don't know. Tackle technician.
For our audio listeners out there, technical technician just posted, I stand with Mr. Coffee. Well done. Well, oh, yes. Very good. Mm.
Yeah.
Mike Waldy, Texas Bigfoot Ranger, says, sprinkle Folgers crystals on vanilla ice cream. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I would do that or not, but...
Or put it on chocolate ice cream, too. Ooh, chocolate.
Yeah, there is this little candy. It's called Werther's, and yep. They've got a coffee-flavored... It's a hard candy. They've got a coffee-flavored one. Now, that's the only coffee that I like, because it tastes like it's got, like, you know...
Now, you see, you have to be careful about saying the candy Werther's. And the reason why is, you know, all the Gen Zers and millennials will tell you, that's old people candy.
Well,
and you know what? I think about it. And yes, it was my grandmother way back when she was alive had Werther's candies.
Yeah.
So
good stuff. They don't sponsor the channel or anything, but you know, hey, we wouldn't turn down a case or a bag or whatever they want to send it. But yeah, that's the only coffee that I could really stand. That's that coffee flavored Werther's.
Man,
because it to me, so, it doesn't taste like coffee. Yep. Oh man,
so
Grasshopper said, glad I could influence the topics in tonight's show.
That's right, Jen. Hello, Jen. Good to see you. And she said, Grass is a trendsetter.
Yeah,
amen, brother. Gen X knows, amen, brother.
Gen X.
So if anybody ever catches the Shadows Facebook channel, he does these Facebook shorts videos, and he's getting very popular as well doing them. And he talks about what it's like to be Gen X. That's the main theme of his channel or his videos. And he said something about, you know, well, when you got to go pee, he goes, hey, when you're a Gen Xer now, you got to go pee. It's one of two extremes. Either you don't or you really got to go. That brought me to my floor. That brought me to the floor.
Well, you know, I can't help. Of course, you know, I use YouTube a lot, and I'm watching a lot of videos, especially a lot of the engine stuff I love, you know, watch these other guys' channels too. And I see a lot of these videos from talking about toys from the 1960s and 70s and how dangerous they were. And I'm like, yes, you know, I can remember that. You know,
we survived lead chip paints.
That's right.
We survived asbestos in the ceiling. Yeah. We survived, and most of us, we survived dangerous toys. Most of all, we survived lawn darts.
Yeah, I loved lawn darts. That was great, man. I mean, I didn't like playing the game. I just liked throwing it.
Anyway. We're getting way off topic now, so let's get back on.
Back to Bigfoot.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no seat belts, too. No seat belts.
Yeah, yeah. Who needs seat belts?
So anyway.
Back then.
Yes, they are. Getting back to our saying. Where yes, were we? You stand with Bob.
Yes.
That, you know, my thing is, when I saw my juvenile, it booked off. It was in the process of booking off because it heard me getting out of the tent. Yeah. Right? What does Patty do? Patty just merely walks away. Right? Why didn't she run if somebody's taking shots at her?
Yeah.
Why didn't she run?
Well, the trackway measurements are to be believed. We don't know because we weren't there. But she did start picking up the pace a little bit on out after she got through the wooded area. The tracks supposedly stretched out to around 60, 65 inches between the heel to toe step. So she did stretch her pace out a little bit. So
yeah, I mean, she walked away with a brisk pace. Yeah, right. Oh my goodness, I'm getting out of here. But if you're getting shots at it, now you're in survival mode, you're going to book it.
Yeah.
You're going to book it. So I, you know, the reaction of the unsub being Patty in the film is not consistent with being shot at.
Right.
Right. And that's something he's missing. He's not thinking of the psychology of what's going on, even with an animal. You start shooting at an animal, it's taking off.
Yeah.
Right. Especially if you wing it, right?
Yeah.
Which MK is claiming Patty was shot in the leg. MK is trying to claim that herniated bulge in its quad was actually a gunshot.
Going the wrong way.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, absolutely not. Anyway, our final topic of the night is, I guess, and we're just about towards the end, which is perfect timing, but I know Matt Larson from Central Florida Bigfoot, along with Ryan and Chewy, go hiking. Tactical Bigfoot Research, Eric Swanson, who was on the show before with Matt, and a bunch of others. I'm not sure who else was there from our group. I'm not sure off the top of my head. There was so many people that went down to this. As you can see, they did finally the final expedition into what Matt calls the corridor. And what we're doing is hoping to get these guys on, Brian especially. Maybe we'll see an appearance at Chewy. We'd like to get them on the show at some point in time with Mike, Ann, and Eric and Brian. Yeah, Matt, and get them on and talk about that. And we're looking probably to right now we're booked through April 15th. So, and Alex Petikoff was there as well too. So in fact, when I met him up at the New Hampshire investigation, he was getting ready to go. So, Hey, Gary said MK is about one day away from claiming his kidney stone was the asteroid to kill the dinosaurs. Bravo. Bravo.
Oh, that's good.
Bravo.
Very rich. Yeah.
Yep. And hopefully Jay, you are, hopefully you're subscribed to the channel. We love it. We love your sense of humor there. Stick
appreciate
around.
You. Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm hoping to get those on. And of course, big news too, which I've kind of big news. I would, yeah, Kate would be defending him. Yeah, he'll actually get that kidney stone, and he will run it through AI to enhance that kidney stone to show how it exactly killed the dinosaurs.
Yes,
right. but that's the stuff we deal with in the Bigfoot community. We're actually committed to dealing with real stuff, not this nonsensical fantasy land stuff. So,
yeah.
Grasshopper,
but, is that Matt standing up there talking? Yeah, that's Matt over there.
Yeah, see. Sure is. That's right. Make sure Jay says, make sure you hit that like button on the way out.
Appreciate
tonight. And we appreciate everybody being here. We appreciate all of you. Yeah. I do not know, Mike. I don't know where Kerry Arnold was from. Tell you the truth. I thought, was he from Alabama? I'm not sure. But anyway, a little bit of news I did not tell you, Chris.
Yeah, lay it on me, man.
But the book is finished.
Well, good. Congratulations.
Book is finished. And right now it's being reviewed by somebody. I'm not saying who or whom. And hopefully I'll get some input on that. And it'll be out for publication in May at the latest. So maybe sooner, but in May. The Psychology of Bigfoot. That's book number 4 on my list here. And
working out the old reading glasses.
one's about 175 pages.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's growing.
So, you know, I didn't want to put any more fluff or try to add stuff in there that wasn't pertinent to the topic at hand necessarily. I do cover a couple of topics kind of off psychology. But it has direct relation to do with psychology of it. The psychology.
Well, maybe we can do like a 1-hour show or something like that on the book when it comes out.
Certainly can.
Would be good. I would like to read through it and ask you a few questions. Kind of like,
you know what? I will send you a copy today. Good. I'll throw that right in my email to you, Chris. I'll send you the PDF.
All right. Okay. Thank you. And, I'll I'll put the old media hat on there and come up with some questions for Mr. Coles.
And you can take that PDF and put it into Claude and have AI review. Claude is awesome, though, because Claude, I can take any scientific document up there and put it into Claude and say, hey, break this document down for me in 10 bullet points. What does it mean? Boom, 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 boom. So I get the cliff notes on any scientific document. I'm sorry. I opted not for the coloring book option, tackle, but, it does have some pictures in there and some pertinent pictures in there and a few diagrams.
Yeah. I've got to see, some of the rough draft there, and he's got some nice photos.
That was Mike Ann talking, by the way. Yes. Mike Ann, oh. For those.
What? Yeah,
apparently that's what I'm being told. I don't know. But anyway, if that is Mike Ann talking, he's probably talking about making cookies in the field for our members in the, for those who are members, we'll get the joke on that one. First, you have to take the bag and you have to open it up slowly and then break the heat pack in it and then seal it back up. And then this cookie smell will waft all over the camp.
No, that's not Mike.
I don't think that's Mike.
No, that's not Mike speaking. No. Get rid of these old man glasses. Sorry.
Well, anyway, folks, that is the Bigfoot news for tonight.
Oh, yeah.
But Chris, do your thing, man. We're just not out of here.
Well, again, I want to thank everybody for joining us over in the chat. We appreciate you guys. We know we've got the best audience in Bigfooting. We love you. I can't tell you how honored I am to have you guys and tickled to death that you'll spend your time hanging out with us on Friday nights and Sunday nights. We appreciate you so much. If it's your first time to the channel, hey, man, consider joining the channel. Subscribe, become a member if you see what you like. Always hit that thumbs up and, share if you can. If you can't, that's okay, but we appreciate you. If you can, share it out. But thank you, guys, and I'm back to you, Steve.
All righty, and for those who are on the Spotify audio portions, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music,
audio listeners.
Yep, all our listeners out there in audio land, if you get the chance, come over to youtube.com/@SquatchDTV or at SquatchDTV.com, which will take you right to the page. And check out the video portions that you missed when you get a chance. I'm sure you'll find it funny and exciting and whatever. But again, I want to thank everybody here. We do have the world's best audience. We appreciate y'all. We would spend our time and your money in some cases on us and with us to produce this great program and great programming. So our commitment to honesty is always there. Our commitment to the truth is always there. And our commitment to you, our viewers, is always there. So we appreciate y'all. And, hey, we'll be back at it. We'll see y'all this Sunday night, by the way. I believe we're going to have Mike Tinsley on from the New Hampshire Bigfoot Research Organization. So or Society. I'm sorry, Mike, if I got that wrong. But they'll be on real soon. Mike will be on this Sunday night. And we'll be talking about Bigfoot in New Hampshire. So it may be, I may have to get some stuff together from that New Hampshire trip a little sooner than I thought. But anyway, again, folks, we'll catch you all here Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern here for Squatchy TV Live. For now, we love you all. Good night.